thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene. I am Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy. They're both out. So I'm your host. I'm the only one going right now. Only one rocking and rolling. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You can find all your DMV sports content there for your DMV sports teams. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We got a lot going on, you know, obviously in the area. A lot of drama. Folks at strip parties and whatnot doing whatever without the mask on. Actually, when we get to this segment, I just question people question bouncers. In strip parties, you really shouldn't be having your cell phones in there anyway. They're not supposed to be inside a strip party, from what I've been told. FYI, I'm just saying. So, but anyway, also make sure join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scenes, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building, so I'm going to say it for him. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team losing to the Seattle Seahawks 20-15 and their upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers. I was supposed to have Sports Journey Lake Lewis Jr. on the show, but things happened. So I'm going to have a substitute. I have Double Takes Sports, Karita Parks, on the line. She's also will be part of the following segment at 8:20 because she's also Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, and she's going to talk about the season for the Washington Wizards. So what to look for with the Wizards, what they got coming on tap in terms of who's going ball, who's going to show out, and things of that sort. At 8:40, we'll talk about the start of the NBA season. Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze will jump on the show. Finally, we'll have boxing expert Johnny Signorella jump on the show to talk about the impressive victories of Canelo Alvarez and Triple G over the weekend. But first, right now, let me introduce her this way. First, I have Double Take Sports own Karita Parks on the line. What's going on, Karita?
Hey, how are you?
I am doing well. You see, I had to get all that out, Karita. I had to get that all out. You know what I mean?
Because now I know that's a lot.
I know, and you're doing double duty. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you for jumping in as a sub. You know what I mean? And also, you are. When we get to the Wizards talk, I want to make sure the folks know that you are Sports Journey's Washington Wizards reporter, main reporter on the scene. But I want to talk about the Washington football team. You cover this team too as well. Let's talk about first, before we get into the drama, because I know everybody wants to talk about the drama. I want to talk about what happened on Sunday. They lost to the Seattle Seahawks 20-15. Looked like this team was in the game. The quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, threw two picks early, but seemed to get he got his feet wet. What did you think about that game?
I thought it was a winnable game, actually. If the Washington football team would have gotten off to a much faster start, we've been saying this for weeks at this point, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have been trying to catch up at the last minute like that.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a winnable game. I actually, because my family is actually from Seattle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So as much as I am really rooting for both teams, I went ahead and picked the Washington football team. Because I was like, you know, Seattle hasn't been on their P's and Q's lately.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if they can play, put together a solid game, they should win. But yeah, those turnovers hurt. They seem to come at a bad time.
Yeah.
And I think my problem with those turnovers were they were actually bad decisions.
Yeah, they were.
It wasn't like a ball got tipped and landed in someone's hand. He just made some bad decisions as far as turnovers are concerned, but it's not all about him.
I know he's made a lot of bad decisions of late.
right?
That's just not. Yeah, that's just something that he's just not good at with decision making. It just shows. At first, it's like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. You know, fool me twice, basically still shame on you. It ain't shame on me. Shame on you.
Seeping into the on field and off.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, bruh, Like, is this what we doing? But yeah, back to on football before we get into like the drama.
Yeah, I could go on about that one, so that's why I was quiet, because I know you have like a section where you want to talk about.
Yo, it's gonna happen. don't get twisted. It's gonna happen. I may just jump to that ASAP. But it's gonna happen.
Okay.
But like to your point, yeah, it's like the mistakes, the two interceptions. You know, it's like, all right, man. Like, when are you gonna get it? You know, people, you know, in the town, they want you to be like, to show promise so they don't have to draft the quarterback so they can look at you as the franchise quarterback. And then when you make decisions like that, you know, throwing the ball up, but the defense has showed you that they can win you games, and Alex Smith has shown you the recipe to win football games by not turning the football over, and you do that. And especially when you have in some of those plays, he has the legs to move out of the pocket and to run, and he could have just ran on one of those interceptions that he threw. You're thinking to yourself, like, why force it when you can run and get positive yardage? So it's just like, you know, he just got to mature up in many different ways. He has to mature up. But to the point of starting slow, this is the problem for some strange reason for any quarterback. This team just starts slow. And I don't know if it's, you know, the quarterback play, or is it, you know, play calling, or whatever. But when they get in halftime, when it gets to halftime, they come out a different team offensively and defensively. And another issue too I have is that this defense has with mobile quarterbacks. It just seems like this whole season, as dominant as this defense has been, when they see a mobile quarterback, it is trouble.
That's a very good point, because Kyler Murray ate him up.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson.
Lamar.
Still ate him up. Who else?
Lamar. Lamar Jackson. Yes, Lamar. Daniel Jones ate him up. Like,
well, you know, I don't even, and that's no excuse.
I mean, he fat. Look, you know what? It's crazy. He's not like Kyler fast, but he fast. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's gotten, like, I was like, dang, they make Daniel Jones. I know, y'all letting Daniel Jones like Mike Vick. Like, I was the same way. I was like, damn. But then I saw the Eagles game when he almost broke that all the way, but he just fell on his own. I was like, okay, Wash ain't the only team. Like, it happens. It happens. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, they just got to get that situated. But, you know, when they play a mobile quarterback, a quarterback that's willing to run, they're going to have to, you know, clean that up, because Teddy Bridgewater is coming to town, and Teddy will run. I don't like to call Teddy like a running quarterback, but he will run.
But he can get out the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he can get out the pocket. And then, and you know, also, I don't think we can sleep on Carolina's defense.
Yeah.
They turned it up against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I know that one positive sign on the team has been their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And with our offense starting off slow, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be next Sunday.
Yeah.
That could pose an issue.
Definitely. So let's talk about this quarterback and immature decision making. All right. So, there are pictures circulating on social media. At first, folks didn't know who it was. They weren't sure if it was Dwayne, but it was Dwayne. You just be in denial. And Dwayne, you confirmed it on social media that it was him, and he apologized to the team and whatnot. And it is what it is. But if you didn't know, he was at a strip party, or it seemed like a strip club or whatever. It looked like a strip party, and he didn't have it. He wasn't wearing his mask. And that's against, you know, COVID protocol for the league.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts when you saw the picture and when it was confirmed?
Well, here's my question. I also didn't see like the timing. Like, is that a
every Friday?
Picture?
No, it happened
oh,
recent.
Shoot,
no,
Friday?
It happened after the. Yeah, no, it happened. I want to say happened. It happened very recent. Was it Friday or was it Sunday? I want to say it was recent.
So it was.
It's very recent. Very, very recent. Put it that way.
Well, there still wouldn't have been any excuse, but I just wanted to get the timing right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so my thoughts on that is a couple things. Like you said, he's in the strip club without a mask, but you also know that he's within 6 feet of people. So you're also at a fairly, probably decent-sized gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So either way it goes, you're putting your teammates at risk.
Yeah.
It was stupid. It was selfish. And then on top of that, here you have a second opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You got benched after week 4. Like, this is your time to show and prove, like, oh, you benched me? Okay. Let me show you what I'm working with. And one of the issues was his maturity.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that came up in so many words when he got benched.
Yep.
And here you are at a strip party in the middle of the season, on the one weekend where you're about to be the starter.
Poor Dwayne. Just terrible.
Or started. And then let's say it was Sunday. What were you so happy about? Because y'all lost.
I know. And you know what? It goes both ways. What if it was Sunday? And what if it was Friday? Right? If it was Friday,
well, that's why I said
it makes
right,
even worse.
If it was Friday, you knew you were about to play.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Sunday, if it was Friday or Saturday, you knew you were about to play. So that's the issue. If it was Sunday, even still, you still got to go see your teammates on Tuesday and you're putting them at risk. But mm-hmm. also on Sunday would have been, I think that may have been even worse because you just lost.
Yeah.
And you're out partying.
Yeah. I don't never want to get like my thing. It's hard because he's 23. So it's always hard for me to like to judge a young dude. I know what I was doing. When I was 23. So I get it. To that extent, right?
We're not judging. I don't think we're judging.
Yeah,
him,
not
though.
At all. No. No. It's
what I would say mm-hmm. though. I have really been an advocate of Dwayne Haskins.
Me too.
I think
mm-hmm.
you probably know that.
Yeah.
But at this point, now I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
Because it's not about him being 23 years old. I get it. I understand that part.
Mm-hmm.
But his circumstances.
Yeah, I agree.
You are already under the microscope.
Yeah.
Your job is on the line. Your future with this franchise is on the line. You have all of that information, and you still made that decision. You know Ron Rivera is not playing with you right now.
Exactly. That's my thing. I feel like that. I agree with you. That's why I have an issue with. I feel like regardless of age, you kind of know
mm-hmm.
what it is. Like, you know what time it is, bro. Like, you know what time it is. And you know what optics are all about. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Regardless of whatever happened, if it was a private party, whatever people want to say, like, it's still the optics. Like, dude, you putting yourself out there. Like, you already know, one, in a court of public opinion, yo, the bullseye is on you, bro. Like, for whatever mm-hmm. reason, certain people don't like you. It is what it is. Certain people just don't like you. All right? It don't even matter how you play or whatever. They are looking to get on you and looking to pound on you. And they can say whatever they want to say. And you listening to it here on Urban Sports. And you can say whatever you want to say. Like, oh, now we dictate this. We look at this play. Nah, you don't like them. Because I can tell hate from when somebody's just really having an issue with somebody's play. So whatever reason that is, people don't like them. Now you put yourself in that situation. Right? The coach mm-hmm. don't really. We don't even know the coach believes in you. You know what I'm saying? Like, or we'll say
yeah.
the coach don't believe in you because that's what it seems like. He don't believe in you. Bruh,
mm-hmm.
why are you even risking it? Like, if you think about you were praying on the sideline, right? You crying
almost
that you got this opportunity.
In press conference.
You almost crying in the press conference. Bruh, you didn't notice. You didn't notice? Like so you're going to have all that emotion? You going to chance it on a strip party? Like, really? Like, that's what's popping? Like, you really can't hold off until you establish yourself to a certain extent to even wait that out? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Right, there's only, like, a couple more days of the season.
Yeah, bro.
If they do slide into the playoffs, that's just a couple more
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, like, and you thinking about, you like, you want to be the starting quarterback? Like, come on, man.
It's not happening now.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, come on, man. Like, for real. It gets to a point where we all, you know, people listen, all right, you know, let's go to his generation or whatever. Dude, bro, you probably, you know, you listen to rap songs. You know, you sing, you know, you look at the athletes that are doing things like LeBron and other stars like Kevin Durant, Steph Westbrook, whatever. Like, you hear this terminology used all the time with dudes like this. Don't F up the bag, bro. Don't F up the bag. Like, that's what you doing. Like, you effing up the bag. Like, understand that of anything. Like, I don't even care if you a teenager. To a like from a teenager to a 40-year-old, you understand that terminology. That is in your mind. Do not F up the bag. So what you just did is F up the bag. And you know this in terms and being a black quarterback, like, and it is what it is. This is facts. People can debate it all they want. You like, your margin of error is slim. It ain't big. It is slim. So
and even if he was a winning black quarterback,
yeah, that's
and like that's the thing. You're not even like a winning quarterback. It would have still been a black mark on your record,
yes.
so to speak.
Yeah.
But if you were winning, people would have got over it.
Yes,
too.
They would have got over
but
it.
But you're not winning. you barely even have a job, and you are out here just, whoever took that picture,
man,
they took that picture knowing
they knew
what your situation was, and they knew what the result was going to be.
Somebody told me it might be his girl. That's what gets me. If it's his girl, I got a big issue with that. Like a big.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who did it, but I'm hearing like reports that it was his girl. You know, somebody said like it was another dude or whatever. And that's a whole different. I hate snitches.
But
that's
whoever did it, even, I mean, right. So if it was his girl, then she still got a lot of sense either.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly. I got.
And issue. Then if it was someone else, they knew leaking those pictures were not going to be a good look.
Yeah, they knew
for him.
They knew, like, I hate snitches in life.
But he put himself in that situation.
He did, though. No,
but
he
honestly,
did.
If you put all that to the side, I think, like, the big, big issue to me is also you put your teammates at
facts.
Risk.
Yeah, facts. I agree. I think so, too. I think that's an issue, too. That's something he going to have to talk to his teammates. And I think he addressed that, too, on his apology note on, I want to say it was a tweet or I guess a tweet on, it was on Instagram.
Yeah, it was
a tweet. Yeah, his apology tweet. So
that was a lack of maturity, too. I mean, that's a lack of maturity, a lack of leadership.
Yeah. I think it's a lot.
That's
It's a lot, man.
The issue is
like people tell you, you know, that somebody's immature and he's just immature. And I don't want to like just say, cause he, like, there's a level, like you can be like, we throw out the terminology. Oh, he's just 21. Oh, he's just 23. Or she's just that age. Like there's still a level. Like, yeah, we know that people they didn't reach their full level of maturity yet. We know that, but there's a level of maturity that you do have to have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that he's just not showing at this point.
I mean, how old is Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes is not that old.
Yeah. But we don't know what Pat's doing. He winning. People hide stuff when you're in it.
Right. But, you know, but he carries himself.
He does.
In a much more mature way.
He does.
Right. If he is doing stuff on the side, he's not silly enough to be in a situation where
he ain't hot. That's all it is. He ain't hot. That's what it is. He ain't hot. Like the problem with Dwayne is he hot. Like he too out there. Like if somebody come at him on social media on some Instagram thing, he quick to respond on something and say, hey, man, don't follow me then or something. He's quick to respond to stuff like that. So that's the problem. Like, Dwayne just hot. Like, real talk, he just hot. Like, real, like, dudes who doing stuff, like, you ain't seeing it. Like, you ain't seeing it at all. Like, you're not going to see if they value their spot, put like their spot in that sport. You ain't going to see it because they value it too much. You know what I'm saying? They're not hot. Like, Dwayne don't get it. Like, you know, he just doesn't get it. Like, that's what bothers me. He just doesn't.
Yeah,
like,
I don't disagree. Yeah. And for me, I'm just like, if you went to number one starting quarterback to number three.
Yep.
Like, that is a slap in the face, in my opinion. So, to me, you know what it feels like already to lose your job. Like, you know what that feels like.
No, I'm
with it. So for you not to take advantage of this moment, I have a problem with that.
Yeah, it's trash. Carita's trash. It's like he's just it is what it is. I feel I have an issue with so much, you know, and I want to talk about the Wizards. We can like kind of jump through Carolina because it is what it is. But I'm going to address this one thing real quick. I have an issue, like a two-part, and I mentioned a little bit in the beginning of the show. Like, I mean, like strip parties allowing phones, that gets me. I don't get that either. That's a whole different argument because usually people like to keep that stuff, especially when you got a celeb or that's a local celeb or something like that. Typically, they snatch phones. Like, typically, they snatch phones if they have cameras on it. From what I've been told. I'm going to use that caveat. From what I've been told.
Right, I heard it.
I'm just saying, that's one, and it's the other thing is that like I just don't like snitches, you know what I'm saying? So whoever like who felt like I get it, like, yo, he should have been there anyway, but I have an issue with that in today's society. Like, this dude, nobody committing a crime, but I mean, it is what it is. I get it.
Sunday night.
It was Sunday night, too? That's what it was.
Yeah,
it was Sunday night.
It was Sunday night.
I knew it.
It was, to me, like I said, it's even worse.
It's horrible.
You just lost a game. And you, I mean, not to say that if you lose, it's like you can't live life.
Yeah.
But it just shows that you competitors, like true competitors, do not like losing.
They don't. They don't. And you gotta eat, sleep, and drink like the sport that you're in. You know what I'm saying? And this is my thing. Like, I'm not against, because I've been when I was younger, I was out and I've seen multiple athletes, you know, out and partying, this, that, and the other. So I've seen it. But those dudes ball. The athletes I saw, they balled. Like, they were still able to play on Sundays and play at a high level. So my whole thought process is, bruh, if you ain't that dude and you haven't shown to be that dude, don't even risk it. Stay your ass home. Stay your ass home. Like, especially if you're a starting quarterback trying to find your way. Like, if you're a starter and you've already being criticized for whatever, you know, not being the best quarterback or best whatever. Like, dude, stay home. Study. Because, again, if people see you out, it's the optics of everything. They're going to look at you like you ain't working hard enough. You know what I'm saying? They're going to look at you that way. I remember when I was younger, I saw JaVale McGee in the streets. I was like, dude, you a bum. And why you in the streets? You should be in the gym working. You know what I'm saying? He's a better basketball player now. But back then, that's what I was thinking. I was like, yo, you should be in the gym. Like, there's no reason why you need to be acting like a rock star. You haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish yet. So you need to be, you need to be in the house. Be in the house, bruh. But yeah.
Ooh, I could definitely go on, because yeah. I also saw how the girls was at the, with, had his jersey.
Oh, the jersey? I'm telling y'all, yeah, trash. All of it. It's trash.
Like, what are you, I'm still just trying to figure out what he was so happy about.
I don't know, man. He probably felt that he was happy about the second half. That, you know, that second half, he threw almost 300 yards. I'm telling you, man, he just needs to table it, man. He needs to table it. I just hope he gets another.
That kind of takes me back to, I think it was Baltimore.
Yeah,
where he threw like 300 something yards. Mm-hmm. And we don't really know why he got benched, but like I heard that, like, you know, after the game, they saw him kind of dabbing it up with the Ravens, but it was more. You know, it wasn't like a respect thing, like, hey, good game. It was like he was out there, like, chatting, laughing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lost. And I think I heard something where he said, they, like, talked about how he threw 300 yards. Yep. And he was talking about what he did good in the game, even though they lost.
I heard the same thing.
So all of this is lining up now.
Yeah, it's making sense.
Like, I thought they were just being hard on him, but...
Oh, no, they're not. I mean, the maturity thing is real. Like, I think we can all agree the maturity thing is real. Like, no one's being hard on him. It's real. Like, he needs to mature up. But I got you here to talk Wizards, man. That's why I got you here. I got you here to talk Wizards. And I'm glad and I appreciate you for being on extra to do some of this Washington football team talk. But the Wizards, season starts, goes down, Karita. Tomorrow, they take it on. They take it on Philly, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Doc Rivers is a new coach in Philadelphia. Yo, what's up with the Wizards?
Yes.
I know. What do fans expect from the Wizards tomorrow?
You know, I think that they're going to get a much more competitive team.
All right.
We did see in that last preseason game a preview when they played most of their starters.
Okay.
We saw more of a preview of what they can really look like.
Yeah.
And if they keep playing like that, keep building the chemistry, I think there's going to be a little bit of chemistry that needs to be built. And now with Rui out, that does kind of throw it off a little bit, because now they have to figure out who's the best substitute for him for these next 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, Westbrook, as far as ball movement and – you know, assists and getting the balls to people. Like, he really did his thing. He took the attention off of Brad, so Brad was able to make some shots. I like Denny, the new rookie.
Yeah.
I just really like,
I like
his
him too.
Heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's aggressive. He don't like to lose.
That's good. You need that.
No, I know. I'm saying that just because, like, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
But in his press conferences, if Denny... I mean, and there was a game where actually Denny played well in both preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play as well in the second one, but he still was like had a lot of stats. He was very aggressive. He was really good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy. No, and I like that. About
I like
him.
That too. It was hard on himself. I think his second game, the second game, he wasn't the best. I think he shot good from three in the second game, but I like him. There's some things usually when people draft, when teams draft overseas players, in like the first round, typically as an individual, in the U.S., you watch, college basketball, you kind of question, who's this mm-hmm. individual? What does this individual bring to the table? But watching him play, I was watching some of his clips on YouTube in terms of, playing overseas and then watching him in the league. What I like about him is that, he does have a playmaking mentality and he plays smart basketball. You talk about Denny. He plays very smart basketball. And also he's a guy that you can run some offense around. And like you said, he cares. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. Not just to believe in your talent, but to care. You mentioned about Rui. So how does this team, how does Rui being out impact this team?
Well, in my opinion, Rui, he would give you at least guaranteed 18 to 20 points a game.
Okay.
So they're going to definitely miss that. I know Coach Brooks was talking today about possibly putting Davis in the game. He likes to take him off the bench, but he was mentioning potentially starting him. Okay. That would be a good, replacement, but that would be seeing him in a different type of role in a sense. Then there's Anthony Gill, who I only really saw play once.
Mm-hmm.
But when they tried him in with the starters, he wasn't too bad, so he was the other option. But I definitely think knowing that you have Rui that is guaranteed to give you about 18, 20 points a game, not in the game for 3 weeks, I definitely think that's going to be missed. But also, he was another weapon mm-hmm. on the court. If you had him, Brad, Russell, Davis, that's a lot for other teams to pay attention to.
Yeah. No,
so he was also just another weapon as well on the court. So I think he will be missed, and now they have to figure out how to adjust. But in my opinion, the Wizards are a little deeper than they've typically been in the past couple years. So that's a positive.
So when you say deep, I'm very interested in that, because I heard this on the telecast too. They said that the Wizards are really deep, I'm trying to really break down this deep thing, because who did they add to make them deep? Because Drew Gooden and folks loved, they were saying this team is very deep. And I'm watching, and I'm at what position are they deep?
I feel like they have a lot more options. They definitely have a couple point guard options with Denny.
I like Denny a lot.
So he can play different positions. Yeah. His name was floated around possibly as a replacement for Rui. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But he can play a couple of different positions.
Mm-hmm.
I like Raul. I don't always say his name, last name correct, but Raul Nato.
Nitty. I need to talk about the point guard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. Thomas Bryant has a backup center with Lopez.
Yeah. I like Lopez.
So, there's just
as a backup,
a little bit more to work with, if someone gets hurt.
Got you. No, I hear what you're saying.
Defense is still a problem, though, period.
Yeah, it is. It's just, when you watch, there's a big difference when Russ comes out the game. I think you can kind of see it. I think they run smoother when Russ is in the game.
That surprises me a little bit, because the energy level kind of changed when Russ wasn't in the game. And to me, I understand what he brings to the table. That energy is a part of it.
Yeah.
But you can't lose that just because he's not in the game.
Facts. I agree. You're listening
and
to... Go ahead.
Coach Brooks said, mm-hmm. we'll see how this plays out, because Brooks said that he wasn't going to have Russell play back-to-back.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's does this team compete at a high level when he's not in the game? You know what I mean? Because you see it, you got a sample size of what this team is about with just Bradley Beal. Beal plays well, but the other guys don't bring it to the same level. But you see when Russ is out there, those other guys tend to play at a higher level. They feed off of him. So I'm interested to see when he does. I want to see when Russ doesn't play, how that impacts the team. You know what I'm saying? How that impacts the whole team.
Well, we didn't see him in the first two preseason games, and honestly, when you saw him in the third preseason
game, he looked good.
The energy, the ball movement, they just
looked so much better.
It felt like more intense, if that made sense.
No, I agree. You know what I'm saying? I felt like the people who were covering it, I mean, not like the telecast, I thought they were a little extra. Like, they kept saying, like, Russ is this, Russ. And I thought Russ was amazing,
too.
They were a little extra. I thought they were doing too much. I thought it was throwing shade to somebody else on the lows. I was like, dude wasn't even playing last. Like, the dude that y'all trying to, I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to disrespect, because I like the dude, and I'm not going to put that energy out there. But dude wasn't even playing last year, and he was one of the best point guards in the game when he was healthy. So y'all acting like the ball wasn't moving when he was here healthy. So I just didn't like that.
Well, you know, right. So I would agree with that. It's interesting because Dwayne Casey, the Pistons head coach, when they asked him about, you know, what do you think about a backcourt with Russell and Brad?
Yeah.
You know, he was like, they're going to be a problem, et cetera, et cetera. But then he also was like, but it's not to say it wasn't like that
with John. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I agree.
John just had bad luck with injuries.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was just
so
too much.
So I did like that. Like, he addressed the question, but he also put in there, one thing he said it twice, that, you know, he basically was like, they got a good point guard. They exchanged a point guard, a good point guard for another good point
guard. Facts.
So it really was like an even exchange.
Yeah, I mean, if Russ is triple-double Russ, I always say, like, I'm not going to argue and lie. Like, he's better than John. Like, I'm not going to say he's not. Like, triple-double
Russ. If he's triple-double Russ.
Yeah, if he's triple-double Russ, he's better than, he's better than Brad. He's the best. He's one of the best players in the league. It's not a knock on anybody else. But I just didn't like the terminology. It made it seem like John was a ball hog. I didn't really like that. Like, I didn't – that, and I liked it. What you just told me, that's pretty much my assessment of it. It's like you had another good quarter. You had a good point guard, and you're replaced by another good one who typically gets other people involved too. So he does the same thing. But, you know, Russ is Russ. So I ain't knocking it. But Russ brought the energy. He was definitely on top of his game. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Sports Journey, sportsjourney.com. Right now, I'm chatting with Sports Journey's Wizards reporter, Karita Parks. So, Karita, what player should Washington fans be – what's an underrated player that, you know, will catch Washington fans off guard that's going to ball out but people wouldn't know about?
Underrated. Who is in a ball out that people wouldn't know about? So I'm not going to force myself to
Because
I'm trying to think. I don't know at this moment. Underrated that people wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, we talked about Denny. I like him. But I think people kind of expect that he's, after seeing him.
Yeah.
I think they kind of expect that, but.
What about Troy Brown?
Maybe Troy Brown Jr. I was just about to say that.
Okay.
Maybe Troy Brown Jr.
Okay.
Because he has a little competition now.
Yeah, he do. He
and
do.
We did see in the preseason, he had, you know, he did well. And he was a little more aggressive than usual, which I think we've been waiting for. So I actually take that back. I would say Troy Brown Jr. I think he'll surprise us this year.
All right, this is probably my last question for you. If this team doesn't make the postseason, and they should, I mean, a lot of people think they should. Where are you going with this? What's up with Scott Brooks? Is he gone?
If they don't make the playoffs this year, going to say yes. You know why?
Why?
Because I personally think at this point they value Bradley Beal more than anybody.
Got you.
That's my assessment.
No, I don't think that's. I think that's 110% correct. I think they do.
If they don't want to lose him, so I feel like they. I mean, we saw that with John.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, I agree.
To be able to keep him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if put it this way, if they don't make the postseason and Brad is not pro Brooks, if he's not like fighting for Brooks, yeah, then Brooks is gone. If Brad is fighting for Brooks, then Brooks stays. That's how I look at it. Because, like, to your point,
I don't think we're going to see him. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think we'll see him fight because he just wants to win.
Yeah, he wants to win. Yeah, I agree. He wants to win. You know what I mean? But winning has to, there's got to be sacrifices to winning. I think mm-hmm. all players got to understand that. Like, it's cool to drop 30 on every given night, but there are sacrifices to it to this day. Sometimes scoring 25 and getting some other people some shots gets you more W's. So it's a sacrifice to this thing. Like, some people, it depends what team you are, or what players you do have. So if you need to get, you want to get more confidence to Denny to get more shots, then you may want to pass some shots off and give to Denny. You know what I'm saying? Same for Thomas Bryant, though. He needs to stop shooting 3-point shots. I don't care if he makes a couple. He needs to stop shooting them threes. You know, like, players like that, you know what I'm saying? You can get more confidence. So, but yeah, Brad does want to win. You can see the desire. All right, but Karita, I appreciate you for jumping on the show. What's popping with Sports Journey, and also for you in terms of your writing for Sports Journey? And what's going on with Double Take Sports, man?
Yeah, so still writing for both. Writing for Sports Journey, that's where you can find my Wizards content. For Double Take Sports, I write about all sports, so you can find, well, mostly all sports. You can find football, NBA, you can find some college, a little bit WNBA, but quite a bit of writing going on there. So be sure to follow me and support my work at Double Take Sports. That's DBL Take Sports.
And how can folks catch you on social media?
Say that again.
How can folks catch you on social media?
So you can catch me on social media at Karita C. Parts. That's C-A-R-I-T-A. Karita C. Parts on all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, at DBL Take Sports for Double Take Sports. Mm-hmm. And I also tweet all of my articles and all of my writing under my Karita Parts tagline. So you'll see Sports Journey and everything mm-hmm. that I do on my profile.
Yeah, Karita got some hot takes. She's awesome. She has great stuff. Big things popping for Karita Parks. FYI, letting y'all know this. You know what I mean? I used to give her a hard time with the Lakers and whatnot, but you know what I mean? She does a darn thing.
Used to. That was just last week.
Why we got to put that out there now? You know what I'm saying? Like, why we got to put that I'm annoying right
talking
now?
Talking about used to.
Okay. Why we got to do that now? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I did it last week. I do it to a lot of people. I'm a troller. That's what happens. I troll.
Right. Yes, we know.
I am a troller. Hey, Karita, thanks for being on. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. You take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, man. Again, that was Karita Parks. Make sure you follow her on Twitter at Karita C. Parks. Again, at Karita C. Parks. The NBA season is back. Host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, about to be on the show. I'm going to talk to him after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yeti deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. Man, it's nothing like listening to the old school NBA on NBC song. Ain't nothing like it. That's why I always gotta play it for this segment. Cause it's all that other TNT's alright, but all that other stuff, that ESPN stuff, ABC, whatever you want to call it, ain't nothing like the NBA on NBC. That theme song is legendary. All right, right now I have host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, on the line. What's good, man?
Yo, what's good, my brother? Appreciate you for having me on, man. We back, man. NBA is back, brother.
I know. I'm excited, man. I'm watching this Brooklyn game, and KD is like the old KD. This is what makes me happy about possibly seeing my man John Wall tomorrow night, man. Like, this is what I'm talking about. You get an Achilles, and you can still ball like this. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is, man. And I'm looking at him right now. The boy looking good, man.
Yeah.
He's looking clean. He's moving well.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know what's crazy? He was already damn 6'11", damn near 7 feet. But he looked like he got about 2 inches taller.
He do
man.
Look taller, man.
Because
he looked taller.
He looked lanky.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Extra tall. Like, he looked 7'1", 2 guard right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, man. He's scary.
It's crazy.
It is. And you know what makes it even scarier? Like, you always kind of wonder, you know, how the whole Kyrie playing with KD thing's going to work out. You know what I'm saying? Who's going to have the ego? Because you saw, like, not who ego, but you saw a little bit like a point guard with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook years ago. And nothing against Russ or anything like that. But sometimes when an individual, you know, when you got a talent like Kevin Durant, I call it an automatic mismatch. And then you got a guard like Kyrie or Russ. It's hard when you're talented like that to defer to, you know, somebody like KD. But what I watched in the beginning of this game, like, they were deferring. Like, Kyrie was deferring. He was letting KD go to work early. And then he stepped in and, you know, did his thing. So, and the way this team's operating, and I know it's just the first game, and I don't like to go, you know, trying to gas up a first game or whatnot, especially with the Warriors, that they don't have all their guns anyway. But the way they're playing basketball is smooth, bruh.
It really is. It really is. I like the offense that Steve Nash is putting together.
Mm-hmm.
But those were some good things. But I do have a couple of little gripes with them. I'm not really a fan of. I wrote it on Twitter that I'm not a fan of the starting lineup with starting Dinwiddie.
Yeah, I know.
Over LeVert.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I get why he's doing it, because LeVert is such a dynamic scorer. He can't control that second unit.
Mm-hmm.
But to me personally, I would start LeVert, but then pull him out early.
Yeah.
And then pull him back in to control that second unit with a Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see when Dinwiddie, Durant, and Kyrie is on the floor, Dinwiddie kind of has to take a step back. Either Dinwiddie or Kyrie kind of has to take that step back and be off ball along with Joe Harris. And I think to maximize them a little bit more and to make that second unit a little bit more fluid,
mm-hmm.
I would put Dinwiddie back on the bench. But they winning, so I guess it don't even matter.
No, but no, to a point, I think you have a valid point. It depends who you play, right? Like, this lineup works against Golden State, but when you play against better competition, to me, Golden State, and I've always been a dude that's been hard on Draymond Green, but watching this game, this is a game that Draymond Green is actually needed, because they don't run their offense, whoever they run, they're not running offense through the correct people. So when Draymond's there, they can run offense through Draymond. But anyway, like, when they're playing, say, against some of the powerhouse teams we talked about in the West, like, say, the Lakers or the Clippers, the Nuggets, or even in the East, when they're playing, we're talking about the Sixers, right? The Sixers, the Milwaukee Bucks, teams like that. You're going to need that third scorer ASAP. And you can't wait for the bench.
Yeah.
You're going to need them ASAP. And to your point, I do like that, because the Lakers do that. And I'm a Lakers fan, but still, I'm going to use this as an example. The Lakers do that with LeBron and AD, right? Like, they don't
–
one of those dudes, LeBron comes out pretty early, and he's now playing with the second unit when he comes out, right? So, like, if you take one of those dudes out, if you take out, like you said, but you can take out – but you're in the luxury of taking out LeVert early enough where he can still play with the first unit and still be the man in the second unit.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good idea.
They got four guys there.
Yeah.
Four primary playmakers that they can use. Usually that is a luxury.
Yes.
That is a real luxury for any team. So the fact that they can do that, I feel like for defensive purposes, because Kyrie can cook anytime he needs, anytime he wants. KD can cook anytime he wants. So, and then you got to get Joe Harris some touches.
Oh, man, I think Joe Harris is good too, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So you forget Joe Harris is even there when you got Dinwiddie and Kyrie and KD both come in and touches. So I feel like it's better balance. In that way, and Dinwiddie and LeVert can both kill second unit.
Yeah, and my issue, like, I am a LeVert fan. Real talk, I just think LeVert.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be a player like LeVert. I'm gonna say that in this situation.
Yeah,
because you were borderline. I don't even say borderline. I feel like on another team you would be an all star. On another team you're an all star. I can honestly say that. I feel like if you get the touches, because I'm about, you know, points per minute. What do you do, you know, in that situation? And LeVert showed you when everybody's out, if you make him the guy, like, dude, he's just as big a scorer as some of these young dudes that everybody talks about. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is just as good. Like, real talk, just as good. And So, you know, to have that showcase, to showcase your ability last season, and now you're coming off the bench, it's different. It's different than a Kyle Kuzma, because Kyle Kuzma was on a bad team putting up stats, right? LeVert was actually putting up stats on a team that was trying to get to the postseason. That's totally different. So, you know, like, his scoring isn't just scoring, it's impactful scoring.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And when you brought up LeVert, I compare LeVert like to Zach LaVine.
Yes.
How Zach LaVine is a true guard who can put up crazy scoring stats on the Bulls because he gets those touches.
Yeah.
I feel like if they swap places, LeVert has the same exact talent.
Facts.
That he can score 20 to 25 on a bad team.
Yes. Easily. Yeah. And I'm telling you, easily score 25 plus on a bad team. So for you, what are some of the major storylines going on here?
Going into the season?
Yep, going into the season.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely checking for those Suns, man. I got to see how my boy CP3 does with galvanizing that young team, with that young nucleus over there in Phoenix, how much he accelerates the career of Devin Booker, because he averaged 26 last year. I'm seeing Devin Booker. I'm hoping he gets to about 26 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
Will be nice. And another All-NBA. I don't know if he's All-NBA. Like, I think he was just an All-Star.
All-Star, yeah.
I think an All-NBA nod should be the goal for Devin Booker this year. And obviously the playoffs and trying to get at least a home court advantage. But I'm going to see how he accelerates his career and how he also helped out DeAndre Ayton take a leap forward because he was 18-10 last year without CP on a weird season. So this year I actually need him to really be aggressive. The first couple of preseason games he's done okay, but I need him to do a little bit better because he's a big boy and he doesn't have enough aggression for me. I need him to really get to at least DeAndre Jordan level aggression.
I agree. You know what's so wild about that dude, though, for real talk? Like, that dude is so freaking talented. I didn't know. I actually watched him play. I watched the preseason game. And, I knew he was talented in Arizona. When I watched him in Arizona, I thought he could be rookie of the year. He's gifted. But what he does in the block, he can shoot from either shoulder in the post.
Soft touch.
And I'm with you. Like, Like, one, he's not mean enough. I agree with you. And secondly, some people just don't know how good they are. I'm dead ass serious. Some people just don't know how good they are. Yeah. And he don't know how good he is. Like, because he should be a dude that easily drops 20 points a game. And I know it's hard when you got Devin Booker on your team, because Devin Booker is just a bucket getter. Like, he's just a flat out bucket getter. But he should easily score 20 plus on limited shots, because he really, there's no big in the league that can really guard His work, his offensive tool set. I'm serious. There's no big.
He's big, man.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. People sleep on his size. Mm-hmm. He's a solid 7'1", tall, too.
With skill.
So,
with skill, though,
with
man.
Skill.
With so, skill.
He's just a little too soft for my view right now, but that's why Chris Paul is brought there. He needs to tough him up, and also Jay Crowder also as well.
Yeah.
Those who, their job is to toughen him up, and he needs to be at least borderline all-star level for the Suns to get to where they need to be. He has to be 20. I'm going to say 20-10. He got to be 20-10.
Yeah, he should be. He should be. Real talk, he's not, he's disrespecting his talent.
Exactly.
Seriously. Like, that's what I saw. Nah, you're disrespecting your own talent. Like, especially if you have Chris Paul, because one thing I saw when Chris Paul was on the floor, he got him easy buckets. Like, so that's one thing CP3, and we know this, man. That's just what he does, man. He gives you, if you were big, he gives you easy buckets. He did the same thing with David West in New Orleans and Tyson Chandler. Yep. He did it with DeAndre Jordan and Blake with the Clippers. He did it with Steven Adams and with OKC. That's what he does. He gives you easy buckets. So he's going to do that for DeAndre Ayton. The only thing about, again, it gets to DeAndre Ayton is about, like you said, for real, it's the want to be a dog. And you kids can't play like a punk. Like, really, I'm with you. He plays soft. I'm not going to lie. He plays soft. And Monty Williams pretty much said it, too, like, on a presser. Like, we need him to play a little tougher. And, you know, that's basically code for a coach telling you that, hey, you need to man up. So
yeah, I need somebody to yell at. CP got to yell at him a few more times, man. But every game, I need him to yell at him every game until he gets it.
No, he definitely will.
Balking on him. Somebody got to balk on him.
I hope so, man. You're listening to the Urban Sports League, part of Sports Journeys, sportsjourney.com. Right now, I'm chatting with host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze. So who's that rookie you want to see?
Man, I'm checking for LaMelo, man. Well, actually,
okay.
Two rookies. I'm checking for one LaMelo. Okay. I actually got him as my rookie of the year pick.
Okay.
I'm excited to see what he's going to bring to the table, man. He's been looking real electric in preseason.
Yeah.
I know he's coming off the bench right now, but I feel like he should really be starting or at least take that starting spot within the first 15 to 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Over Terry Rozier, because I feel like he's stealing money over there.
Oh, my,
Terry,
big time. You know, big time.
You know, he's stealing checks for him, yeah, now. Yeah. But I like LaMelo. When he comes in the game, he gives that team a motor that mm-hmm. they didn't have. He comes, when as soon as he comes in, he pushes up the pace. They have a lot of athletes on the Hornets, so they all looks like they all get excited when he comes in the game, like they're ready to run. Everyone knows that they're touching a rock at that point. So I'm definitely looking forward to him. See what he's gonna do, and my man Obi Toppin over here in New York.
Okay, so y'all like Obi. You like Obi?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Obi, man.
Okay.
I like him, man, from Dayton. I like him, man. He's got the right attitude.
Uh-huh.
He's a Brooklyn cat, so you know we gotta show him love there. I gotta show him love. But yeah, man, he plays with a really good power and a really good aggression that I need. So I know a lot of people are comparing him to Amari Stoudemire, but this is getting too. I've been comparing him to Kenyon Martin. I feel like he really is a really good comp to Kenyon Martin.
Okay.
He just got to up his defensive intensity and his defensive IQ.
If you're talking about intensity, I mean, if you're going to compare him to Kmart, that's a whole different mentality, bro.
Yeah, but he dunks with some force.
Yeah, he does, though. He does.
Good touches. But the problem is, not really a problem. What he needs, though, is a point guard that can get him in those right spots, like how Amari did, like how Kenyon has.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that because we know the Knicks don't have a point guard. But hopefully in time they get one, because that's going to be the key to unlocking him. But I feel like he's still going to have a decent season as a rookie. And I like him, man.
Yeah.
I like him.
No, I liked his, you know, how he responded during draft day. You know what I mean? I was like, dude wants it, man. And I love a kid who wants it. You know what I'm saying? You could tell certain folks, you know, they just feel like they're talented. But you can tell when a dude got a drive, like he wants it. He wants to be good. He wants to be great. And something about, you know, when folks were checking for you, you know, going to college, you play with a different mentality, man. Like, you hungry. You always hungry. Yeah. You got a tapeworm mentality. And I just think that dude does. Yeah. I agree with you. I think he has a tapeworm mentality. I mean, I like Wiseman. Be honest with you. I mean, I love Wiseman. But the issue, like, I'm watching this game is, like, really pissed me off. Because I see it watching this Golden State game. I was like, yo, he needs Draymond. Like, Wiseman needs a Draymond.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because everybody else ain't going to look for him on that role. But Draymond will find him on that role and, you know, that role in Oop. Like what he used to do with McGee and all the other bigs in Golden State had in the past. So, yeah, he needs Draymond. You know what I mean? They don't have an individual without Draymond that they can run offense through for real. Like, Steph is the point guard, but it's a different style of running offense, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're looking to get Steph off.
Steph is not a facilitator.
Exactly.
That's his job.
Exactly. So he's gonna miss somebody like that. I like Wiseman. Not a big fan of Edwards in Minnesota. Not a big fan at all.
Me neither.
Okay.
Me neither.
Okay.
Me neither. I'm not gonna lie. You know what's crazy? I don't even know how much Bernie's gonna get this year.
Me either, bro.
They're a little crowded over there in the backcourt.
Yeah.
So I still feel like it was a weird pick for them. Anyway, I feel like they just picked them just to pick them.
Yeah, because I watched him play and I like, don't get wrong, I get, you know, being an athlete, but sometimes you just gotta show me some skill with it, bro. You just can't be an athlete.
Yeah.
I wasn't vibing him. LaMelo, I want to see more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I grew up idolizing Magic Johnson. You know, Jason Kidd is one of my favorite ball players, too. So that style I'm always gonna endear myself to that type of style. But I do want to see more of it, you know what I mean? Because, you know, like Lonzo had that style too. But the difference between him and Lonzo is that, because I like Lonzo too, but the difference between him and Lonzo is that LaMelo got that it Like, he got that it. Like, he about it. Like, Lonzo, he don't have
personality.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about, personality. Like, LaMelo got it. Like, he got that it personality. Lonzo just go with the motion. Like, Lonzo go with the motion. LaMelo, he feels it. Like, he feels like he it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, you respect that.
Lonzo should be ashamed, man, if LaMelo come in and pass up over him in the first year.
He should. He should. But I will give credit to Lonzo. I'll give credit to Lonzo in this aspect that, you know, I like individuals who take their craft serious. Like, so year one, you know, that Jay was broke. Year two, he decided to fix it. We're trying to get the hitch out of it. And even this season, like this year now, he's concentrated on trying to go to the basket, finish at the rim, you know, shoot floater, shoot mid-range shots, not just trying to off the high screen, just shoot a three. Now he's willing to go pull up from the mid-range shot. So you could tell, like, he's really worked on this game. You know what I mean? From preseason, you could tell he's worked on this game. But, yeah, I'm with you. LaMelo's somebody that can really do some things, for real. So I need a prediction real quick from you. Do you think the Lakers will repeat? If not, give me your prediction of who's going to get to the finals or who's going to win the chip.
Yeah, I know you're gonna put me on the spot. I know you're gonna.
Look, man, you're my homie. I got you.
I know, man. I'm gonna tell you what my heart is, and I'm gonna tell you what my head is. Yeah. my head is telling me Lakers, Nets.
I know.
Head, right.
I know.
That's what my head is telling me. But my heart, though. let me tell you.
All right, all right, we're here, bro.
In the West,
yeah.
Suns.
Okay, right? Okay.
Yes, that's what my heart is telling me.
I feel you.
In the East,
yeah.
In the East, the Celtics, man.
Really, the Celtics.
Yeah, but I'm really nervous about that Celtics thing. Honestly, I'm really, my heart is also telling me the Nets too in the East.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. Celtics is more, I'm rooting for them because I do feel like Jason Tatum is gonna take another step forward in this year, and I call him a top 10 player on my show.
Yeah.
I feel he's a top 10 player in the league, so mm-hmm. I think he's gonna take another leap. But I do think the Nets are gonna be too much for the Celtics, too much firepower. So. Like I said, my heart, Nets, Suns, my head, Nets, Lakers. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I like that, man. You know, it's tough, man. Like, you know what? After I like Brad Stevens a lot, so I've always wanted to pick Boston. It's crazy. I'm a Lakers fan, but I do respect Boston, what Boston got. And I like Boston's young talent, too. But I don't know. It's just,
I think they got better, though.
Huh?
I think they got better without hate. I think they did, too.
I think.
Addition by subtraction.
No, I agree with you. I think sometimes you can have. I feel like sometimes people have too much talent. You dig what I'm saying? Like, so your rotations aren't defined. Yeah. Now your rotation is defined correctly, and everybody knows their role. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you don't feel obligated to get Hayward scoring play. I mean, you don't have to feel obligated to run offense for Gordon Hayward. So you can do whatever you want to. Now you can have a role player play that role. So I'm with you. Like, I think they're a better team without, and I like Gordon Hayward. Like, I actually like his game. But
me too.
But I'm with you though, bro. Like, I think he needed to go. Like, he needed to go. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So they should be better. I just want, in the postseason, I want them to play smarter though as a team. Like, I feel regular season they play hard, but I need them to play smarter. Like, there's times they don't play smart basketball. You got individuals that are trying to get theirs, and you can tell, and they feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. Because you let Brad coach it, it going to work. Like, let him coach it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to work. You know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, I like that one. I actually, you know, it's crazy. Like, I feel like, see, my thought process is always, like, in the West, and I'm always about a team going through the journey and then showing improvement every year. And we talked about this on Twitter. Like, so my heart, like, got the Lakers, right? It got the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. Winning all and everything. Mm-hmm. But this Denver Nuggets team scares the bejesus out of me because of this Bobo kid.
Ah.
You think
he's going to play, though?
Oh, yeah. Bobo playing this year. He playing?
He better.
Oh, he playing. They all playing. Like, it's one thing. And then they drafted Hampton, too. Man, something about this team. They don't play with young talent. When they see it, they get it. They don't play. So it's something about an opportunity to have them having Porter and Bobo. Like, I'm telling you, Like, that team scares me. And them dudes getting better.
They got a nice young team, man.
Yeah, they getting better. But I'm with you, man. I mean, in terms of Phoenix, we had this discussion. I think Phoenix can go high, man. They can go high. I think they got everything.
I know I'm reaching.
It's all
one,
good.
But I feel it.
But let me tell you this. Let me put it this way, bro. And this is why actually, because we both got respect for Chris Paul. So let me tell you, and for folks listening, too. Like, everybody before last season, folks had OKC as a lottery team. They end up being a 4-5, with a fifth seed or the fourth seed.
Mm-hmm.
They end up being a fifth. So that lets you know already what Chris Paul can do. And you added Devin Booker to that equation. That lets you know already what Chris Paul is about. So, yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised if they compete, for a top spot in the West in terms of high seeds. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Like, you're adding one of the best.
It's all going to be about matchups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you
the playoffs
one of the best.
Will be about matchups, I think.
Definitely, man. But hey, I appreciate you for being on. Before I let you go, man, let our listeners know about the next pod you got going on and where they can find it, and also how they can catch you on social media.
Yeah, my brother. Well, first off, I appreciate the invite. As always, my brother, you know it's always a good time when we talking hoops.
Definitely.
You know we always talking shit in that Slack channel.
You know it.
Yeah, man. So find me out on Twitter, family, at justblaze_513, JUSBLAZE_513 on IG, same, justblaze513. Above the Rim podcast every Wednesday, getting back on the schedule now.
Awesome.
I definitely got to have you on, my brother. I'm making my whole new schedule for the new season. So look out for my invite for me and my brother. You on? We definitely got to talk. I got to talk some Wizards.
Oh, we gonna do that. We gonna do that. I got a lot of
Wizards and John Wall.
Oh man, bro, we talking talk Wall, man. You know it. I'm talking Wall, man. That's
Wall
my dude.
And Wizards is your episode, brother.
I bet that. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
My man. All right, man. You stay blessed, man. Appreciate you as always.
Take it easy, my brother. Right. Stay blessed. Have a good one, man.
Same here, man. Happy holidays.
You too.
Hey, it's my man. That's my man. Just Blaze, man. Thanks again for him being on. I appreciate him so much. Make sure you follow Just Blaze on Twitter. That's at JustBlaze_513. At JustBlaze_513. All right, time to talk boxing. Will we see Triple G Canelo 3? Johnny Signorella will join me to discuss this. After the break, you're listening to the Urban Sports Save for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
And with the local DBC news, Edo Kuje with a triumphant comeback. For a solo but tonight.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion.
Overtime with the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy are out. We're part of Sports Journey, so check us out at sportsjourney.com. Oh man, we had a busy day of boxing. Awesome day of boxing over the weekend. Not day, but a busy weekend of boxing. Let me correct myself. But right now, we have boxing expert Johnny Signorella on the line. What's good, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me on. Happy holidays to everyone out there, and yours.
Oh, thank you, man. Same here. Appreciate it. To you and your family.
Thank you, brother.
No problem. All right, man. Johnny, first off, what's been going on, man? Haven't had you on for a minute. What's been going on?
Chilling, hanging out, watching old school martial arts movies, a lot of boxing, playing video games, chilling with the family, looking forward to the holidays, and just being thankful for everything that we have. And I hope that a lot of people out there that are listening, and yourself and your family included, are enjoying the holiday season, and things are well, and everyone is healthy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, same here. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, we're all doing well. How about the show? How's the show going?
The show's going great, man. Thank you for asking. Had a lot of people on this year, whether it be actors, boxers, musicians, just people from all walks of life and picking their brain. And the thing is about what's going on in this world right now, bro, is I'll tell you, like, there's a lot of opportunity to be creative and connect with people mm-hmm. and have meetings with friends from back home and get to know people, you know, a lot better than, you know, you thought you might have knew them before, and just connect. And for this year, it's been great in my show. And I think I've had on some guests that I probably would have had on at a later point, but because we all got so much time on our hands, we're getting them sooner than later.
Oh, definitely. And Johnny, the name of the show for my listeners, so to make sure they know the name of the show.
Thank you, brother. It's a sit down with Johnny Sigg. And there's also a bunch of other shows on the platform. You can find it on what I call the Life Network. Mm-hmm. It's on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. And I really appreciate the plug, bro. Thank you.
No problem. Look, it's all love here. You know that.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm going to get to Friday fight night. Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, TKO'd Kamaru Usman in the seventh round to retain his IBF middleweight title. What were your thoughts on that fight?
You know, I'm not going to say he played with his food, but the problem was he should have got that guy out of there.
Really? You
earlier.
Thought so? You thought so?
I thought so. A couple okay. knockdowns obviously happened. And, you know, I mean, he looked like the Triple G that we were used to mm-hmm. seeing back in the day. You know, he's dropping people. He looks explosive. He looks powerful. Being that most of the people, including myself in the world, did not know the other guy and not the poo-poo on the other guy.
Yeah, I got you.
You know?
I get it.
But it's like, nobody knew who he was. And the fact that he's doing this during pandemic, you know, cool. I cannot poo-poo on any fighter mm-hmm. that's out there right now trying to make a living, just like I can't do that for anyone that's out there trying to make a living mm-hmm. in these crazy times. I thought Triple G did what he was supposed to do eventually. He got his man out mm-hmm. A little later than I wanted. But then again, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So at the same time, I thought G looked decent, but, you know, segueing it to Canelo, which yeah. Popped off on Saturday, he looked phenomenal to me.
I thought they both looked great. I thought Triple G, like you said, he liked the old Triple G. And for just regardless of the knockdowns for me, it was more that his punches, they were so compact and so crisp, right? They weren't wild. They were under control punches. It was just... Yeah, and I thought he was going to get him out earlier, to be honest with you. Yeah, I'm with you on that. You would want him to be... Wanted him to get the dude out of there early, but it was just impressive. And then to Canelo, oh my God, if anybody had to doubt it, who's the best pound for pound boxer in the game? Jeez. That's all I'm gonna say about Canelo. Like, that guy in the game now, I don't think there's anybody better than Canelo Alvarez. And you know I like Earl.
Oh, I love Earl. And you know, absolutely, and I want to talk about that if we have time a little
bit later. Sure, we do.
For Canelo, awesome. Mm. For Canelo, I mean, he was aggressive, a great jab, you know, the body attack, which is always there. He had a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he dominated. He stood right in front of Smith and flipped punches while standing in front,
yes.
Something that he learned from Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Just face facts there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had great defense overall, and I think for him, you know, moving forward, he did what he was supposed to do that night. We look at the multiple weight classes where Canelo's fought, and everyone asked me, Johnny, what do you think's next for Canelo? Well, we got to look at multiple weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
160, Andrade, Charlo, or Munguia. Maybe Triple G again. 168, Caleb Plant, who's got an assignment against Caleb Truup coming up. David Benavidez, which would be a super explosive fight.
Yes.
And if we go to 175, now we're talking monsters here.
Yeah.
Bivol, Better BF, who is, I mean, 15-0 with 15 KOs. Gilberto Ramirez, 41-0. And then you got, you know, blue-collar guy Joe Smith. If you look at those fighters I mentioned, 10 people, guys,
mm-hmm.
I know it's a lot to process. Only two of them have been defeated. If you look at the other eight, in Andre, Charlo, Mangia, Plant, you know, Benavidez, Bivol, Benerbiev, and Ramirez, they haven't lost a fight.
No, he's, again, it's definitely, there's a lot for him to fight. There's a lot out there for him. The dude is just, he's just an elite talent, man. He just, it is what it is. I think he's a machine, to be honest with you. When I look at Canelo, he's just a machine because he's willing to stay in front of you if he has to, and he'll take a punch to give a punch. He'll take a punch to give a punch. And he's not scared, and he has an amazing chin too, right? So it's always like, all right, if you're willing to be there with Canelo, you're willing to get in a box with Canelo, are you willing to take a Canelo punch? Because he'll take your punch. He'll take it, but you willing to take what he going to give you. That's the thing. Like, that's why with all the talk, and I love Earl, with all the talk about Earl using Canelo as a bargaining chip, I'm like, bro, I don't know if you really want that smoke. Like, I don't think you really want it. It sound good for like a bargaining chip with Bud, but I don't think you really want that, because at the end of the day, you know, you are a powerful dude. You know, he's a powerful dude. And I'm speaking about Errol Spence. He's a very powerful dude in terms of his punches. But, like, there are individuals he did not knock out. He did not knock out. And don't think you're going to knock out Canelo if you can't knock them dudes out. And Canelo will hurt you. Like, he will hurt you if you stay in front of him. This is different. That's a different animal.
I agree with you, you know, and he goes for it. Like, he stands in front of you nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned Spence there. I want to go back to that Garcia fight real quick.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of Spence. He looked tremendous in that fight. He looked really good, man, you know, and he just put it on Garcia. He looked sharp, focused. All the questions going in, obviously, was, how much did that accident impact him?
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got himself, you could tell his shape and conditioning. It looks like he's been a little bit more disciplined outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so too.
But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw some good scraps this year, guys. I mean, Cepeda, Baranchek, you know, Povetkin knocking out White. That I thought was a great KO of the year. I mean, 2021, I'm looking forward to. Like I said, I mean, these guys are out there doing it. And even though I did poo-poo on some people, like with Smith, you know, going back to the Canelo fight, you know, I mean, the guy did win the World Boxing Super Series. He was unbeaten going in.
Yeah.
I just don't think he had a game plan, man.
Yeah, look,
and it's all about game plan.
Yeah, I told him, like, I remember talking to Ray. Ray's not here, but I was talking to Ray prior to the fight, and then he was like, I was like, he was somebody. I was trying to think about boxing topics. I remember we were just discussing boxing topics because we were thinking about doing another round table. That's what it was. We were thinking about doing a boxing round table discussion. And I was like, I want to do one. I told Ray, I want to do one, but I want to do one for a major fight. I want a fight that isn't easy. Like, that was my thing. I don't want it easy. I want to do a round table discussion after a weak fight. I want to do one like after a good fight, like a fight that's like in the winds, like you don't know where it can go. It can go either way. It's gonna be highly competitive. And Ray was like, "Yeah, I mean, you're gonna get Canelo." And I was like, "When Canelo's fighting Smith, I was like, yeah, that's not." I told Ray, "That's not the one." Like, I already know that's not gonna win. Canelo's gonna dominate that fight. Like, he's not.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly. He's gonna dominate the fight.
You know what fight that would be good for, that type of show?
Yeah.
Fury versus Joshua.
I think so. Yeah,
I think that would be amazing. Yeah.
I think that's the fight. I think that, again, I think I was referencing mega fights, and I was like, that's the fight. Like, it would have to be that fight. It won't be a fight that I feel like you already know the outcome. Like, I don't need to know the outcome of a fight. Like, or I need something competitive. I won't say that I know the outcome, but I know it's going to be a competitive fight. Put it that way. Like, I know, like, it's going to be to a point where the chances are, like, this person can definitely score a victory. I got, like, you know what I mean? I want an opportunity on both sides. It can go either way. And I just knew when you're speaking of Canelo, there's only certain people that I feel like that can compete with Canelo, and the guys that he's fighting, it's nothing against them. He's, you know, he's doing his job, right? But the guys that want to fight him, they're not ready. I just, you know, they're not Mayweather. I think people have to kind of look at it for what it is. They're not Mayweather. It's, you got to be a different animal to fight Canelo. You got to be a doctor in the sweet science. You just can't be a boxer or a good boxer. You got to be a doctor. You got to execute. at the highest level. You got to be highly, highly touted. You know what I mean? And not to say these dudes aren't, but it's got to be a different level. We're talking about Bruce Leroy, like, you know what I'm saying? Last Dragon, like, you got to have the glow. Like, it's got to be on that level. So if you don't have the glow, you ain't seeing Canelo. So it's a whole different situation when you're trying to ask to fight Canelo Alvarez. I'm like, for me, if I'm Spence, I'm looking into trying to fight maybe a Triple G before I fight Canelo Alvarez.
You know what? You said it perfectly, man. If you don't got the glow, you ain't got the flow, brother. You know, that's the bottom line. That's what I took away from that.
Exactly. And,
you know, exactly. And, you know, I could talk about that movie all day long, dude. And speaking of movies, real quick, I was going to talk about Crawford and Spence for a moment, because I think that's probably the most important fight in my life right now.
Yeah, definitely.
But did you see the trailer for Coming to
America? Of course,
America,
you know, 5th? I'm on it. March 5th, I'm on it. Amazon, I'm watching it. There, it's amazing.
Okay, let's break this down. We saw Sexual Chocolate.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's
he came
yeah,
back.
It's came back.
We saw our barbershop guy.
I know they're coming back. Yeah.
I cannot wait for. There was so much to process.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw the Reverend.
Yep.
You know.
The whole family. Like, pretty much the whole family's back.
Everybody. Dude, this is probably the most movie I'm looking forward to watching in 2020.
I agree. It's just sad. It's a blessing that we get it, right? But I wish it was in the movie theaters. Like, it's, oh man. I wish this movie was in the movie theaters. I wish we were opened up so we can kind of, folks can get that whole, we can get the whole audience attention and everybody kind of enjoy the moment, because, you know, it's a comedy classic. And to have almost the entire cast back from years ago to be on one movie, to be on a sequel, that's amazing.
We even got Soul Glow, guys.
Yeah. Come on now, Soul Glow. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it?
Amazing.
Who would have thunk it? And we had a discussion. I was like, I doubt it's going to happen, but who would have thunk it? They had Soul Glow. Like, I was thinking, like, it's a different generation. Now they bring it back, Soul Glow. It's hilarious, man. God, I mean, people were scared that, you know, it's going to ruin a classic. But sometimes, like, when you got a product like that and you got a genius like Eddie Murphy, because he is a genius, like, you just got to trust the process. You got to trust that he's going to put out good quality. Because if people who ever follow Eddie Murphy, and, you know, if he didn't think it was going to be funny, and I think we can all say that Eddie Murphy knows funny, that he wouldn't have done it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Raw is probably my favorite stand-up of all time.
Yeah, I love Delirious.
Period.
I love Delirious.
Delirious.
I think Delirious is funnier than Raw to me. Like, I like when he first, because Delirious is the first one. Yeah, Delirious is the first one.
Right? That's right.
That's the first
I'd
one.
I'd love to see him return.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him return. I mean, my favorites are George Carlin, mm-hmm. Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, just those guys are just such heavy hitters
they
when
are.
It comes to logical and fun comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many others. To mention, but Eddie's the guy.
Yeah.
Outside of, in my opinion, Richard Pryor. Like,
there you go. That's my top two. Those are my top two. Like, it don't get any better. To me, I mean, I wasn't in the era of Richard Pryor. But I went back and listened to a lot of his stuff. And I saw like some of his skits he did when he was with NBC. When he had this variety show at NBC. And the thing about Richard Pryor, which amazes me, is that his funny is still is today's funny. Same for for George Carlin, too. His funny is today's funny. And you don't get that often. Like, some people's, like, humor, it wears out, right? But his Richard Pryor is funny in terms of his stand-ups and some of his, like, variety show stuff. It's still funny to this day. It's still funny. And that's what I love about
ahead of his time.
Same thing, yeah.
Look at the crazy world we live in right now.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously.
Like, Carlin was calling all this.
Yes.
It's tough.
It's amazing.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
And Eddie's that way, too.
Absolutely, man. Go back real quick to Crawford and Spence. That's the fight we all want. I think that's the fight that is the most competitive in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see it. Crawford is one of my favorite, if not my favorite fighter on the planet. I admire Spence, especially considering, like, I mean, we all make mistakes. Luckily, no one got hurt.
Yes.
In Spence's defense, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
And for him to come back and put himself through what he did and go out and face a really legit opponent and look as good as he did, man, you have to respect that.
Yeah, and he's going to get better too, right? He'll get better. Because I felt like you saw rust. I saw rust, but to still put that out, to dominate a fight, to dominate a good fighter in Danny Garcia. Because Danny Garcia, whatever people want to say about Danny, I think Danny is a good boxer. He just, for whatever reason, he just doesn't have it to get over the top. But he's a very good boxer. Like, you won't. Danny has a great chin. Danny has a good left hook. The thing about Danny is that Danny sometimes a little bit too passive when he's in the ring. But Danny is a solid fighter. He's a good fighter. Is he a prize fighter? No, but he's a good fighter.
I agree that he's a good fighter, and you hit the nail on the head again. I mean, if you look at, you know, the resume when he stepped up against top opposition, you know, he's come short, and there was other questionable ones where a lot of people felt, that he lost, you know. Mauricio Herrera comes to mind, where that was really close. Paulie Malignaggi, you know, he was able to knock out. And he has a name there. Brandon Rios is a name. But, you know, my man Sean Porter, you know, he was able to get the job done against Danny.
Yeah.
Earl Spence obviously did a tremendous, tremendous job against him. You know, also reflecting on it, Keith Thurman.
Yeah, I thought he beat Keith, though. I thought he beat Keith, though. I thought Danny beat Keith for real. I had Danny beating Keith on the Thurman card. But it can go either way. I mean, that was so close.
That was a very close fight. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say, is that it was a very, very close fight, and I agree with you. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Thurman does, and just boxing in general, bro. I think that as we get back to the sports world, you guys cover it so good. I got to give you props, man. Oh,
thanks, man.
You guys cover everything.
We try.
you do a great job, brother. Thank you. You know, but what's going on tonight, bro? What's the rest of your night like, man?
Rest of night?
I'm about the holidays coming up.
After the holidays, I'm pretty much going to spend some time with the family, and that's pretty and work. That's pretty much it. That's it. You know, but to me, Christmas is more for, like, you know, the kids and whatnot. So my nieces and my nephew, you know, making sure they have a happy Christmas and whatnot. So, and then you're just trying to get to 2021.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Getting out of this one.
Yeah.
It's all about getting to the next round.
Yeah.
Right?
The next round. Exactly. We use boxing. We get into the next round. Shoot. We got Bob and Weave. We got Bob and Weave.
Exactly. Bob and Weave. So with boxing, it's 12 rounds. Yeah. There's 12 months in a year.
Yeah.
Let's get out of there.
Get out of there.
Luckily, we're still here fighting.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can provide good holidays, whether it's food, company, presents, gifts, whatever you can do for people, please, I encourage everyone, you know, to enjoy and embrace the moments you have. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
It's been a crazy year, so we deserve a 12th round unanimous decision.
Unanimous decision.
Unanimous decision on 2020.
Yeah, on 2020. Exactly. Well, I'll even get the split decision if you want to. I don't even care. Just let me get through it.
At least you got past it.
Let me get past it. Just let me finish, man. I don't want to be TKO'd or KO'd. I just want to finish.
Exactly. Get me out of here.
2020 been like Iron Mike back in the day. I'm trying to finish.
Leon Spinks,
exactly. Because Leon Spinks.
Hey, man, as always, this is a blast, dude. I'll do this anytime.
Hey, we love it,
love,
man.
You
appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Hey, before I let you go, how can folks catch you on Twitter, on social media, or any type of platform?
Boxing Music John, and I appreciate that, on Twitter, Boxing Music John. It's, again, the Life Network. If you go to Google, all that good stuff, you can find it. Also, the big show is the Sit Down with Johnny Sig, where I have guests on, NFL players, boxers, musicians, actors, and it's been a great year. I mean, I can't complain. The show has been doing great, and I appreciate all those that support it and listen to it, and I got to appreciate you for having me on yet again. I mean, you guys put out tremendous content. I know what it takes to put podcasts and radio shows together, especially if you're covering multiple subjects in sports. You guys don't miss a beat, bro.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks so much, Johnny. Appreciate it. Hey, Johnny, anytime you need to be, you want to be on, you know, we'll get you on any fight. We're going to try it. Round table, we got you. You know we got you in the round table. That's, you already know.
You know I'm there anytime, bro.
You already know. We got a new person now, so we're going to try to get a new individual into the round table group. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a good one. Hey, Johnny, have a blessed one. I'm going to catch you later, okay?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, my man. Appreciate you so much. Stay blessed.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Again, make sure you follow Johnny on Twitter. That's at Boxing Music John. Again, at Boxing Music John. Appreciate Johnny. That's my dude. That is my guy. All right. We didn't get a chance to make our Week 16 NFL picks. Well, I didn't get a chance to on air, so I didn't because I'm the only one here. But you can find our picks on the Football Garbage Time website at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. Will T's in second place. I'm in fourth place. Ray is in seventh place. Football Garbage Time's Hakun Wong is in first place. And the homie George, I guess he can be like part of the Urban Sports because we kind of put him on this, you know, challenge, and he's like one of the big supporters of the Urban Sports Scene. So, but he's in third place. So basically, if you think about it, Will's in second, George's in third, and I'm in fourth. So Urban Sports Scene is kind of doing big things. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Sports Journeys. Of the Urban Sports Scene, Sports Journey at sportsjourney.com. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my girl Karita for stopping through. I want to thank my man Just Blaze for being on. I want to thank my man Johnny Signorella for jumping on the show as well, man. Appreciate all the guests, and I appreciate all of you for listening. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega lead us out, big homie.